Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be doing my Week 9 and Week 10 recap. Got a lot of news here today, so we'll cover everything from pillar to post. You know how I do. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, I'll be covering Week 9 and Week 10. Like I said in my Christmas episode, the recap of those games. Life is life, and so got caught up a little bit. But nonetheless, this episode's chock full of information, which I will bring to you. A lot to cover, so without any further delay, let's get right into it, shall we? So we'll start the way we always start, guys. Your players of the week, and I have for Week 9 and Week 10, guys. So we'll start with Week 9. Let's talk about Cade Cunningham, guys. Player of the week for the East, for the Detroit Pistons. Cade Cunningham, guys, he has to get all-star consideration. He is playing very well. Detroit is not sure. Also ran. They're being competitive this year, guys. A lot of thanks to J.B. Bickerstaff for being the coach over there, but his key cog is firing on all cylinders. Cade Cunningham for the week averaged 27 points and nearly 13 assists, guys, over 5 rebounds and over 2 blocks per game for him. Wow. Shooting it well from the field, from 3 as well. Of his 18 free throws, he made 14, so you'll take that. His team did go 2-1 during the week. They beat Miami in overtime. They went to Phoenix and got a win there, but they did lose at home to Utah. That kind of loss is pretty much inexcusable, but they did lose nonetheless. So they went 2-1 for the week, guys. So Cade Cunningham, your player of the week in the East for Week 9. Over in the West, Victor Wembanyama. Man, this guy is doing it. For the San Antonio Spurs, this is what he did for Week 9. 36 points per game he averaged. 6.5 rebounds. He averaged, get this, guys, 7 blocks for the week. Good grief. And 4 assists as well. I mean, this guy has been playing stellar ball. Mind you, that week they only played 2 games, but nonetheless, boy, did he dominate. Shot it very well from the field. From 3, he's hoisting it, guys, and he's got the green light over there to do so. Of his 23 free throws, he only missed 4, guys. So, Victor Wembanyama. Just having an amazing season, the second-year player. His team went 2-0 for the week. They beat Atlanta in overtime, and then they beat Portland as well. So, Victor Wembanyama. And so have it. He actually, after his Christmas game, I talked about it in the other episode, but I didn't mention this. The guy, he stayed in New York because they went to play the Brooklyn Nets. Do you know this guy went to Washington Park in New York City and was challenging people to play chess? This guy can do it all, man. Even in chess, he's got it going on. So kudos to Victor Wembanyama getting Player of the Week in Week 9. And you could have gave it to him in Week 10. But speaking of that, Week 10 in the West, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, your MVP candidate, guys. 35.5 points per game, 6.5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2.5 blocks per game for him, and over a steal per game for SGA. Shooting it tremendous from the field, over, well, close to 63% from the field, guys. This is a guard we're talking about here. And shot it pretty good from three, nearly 41%. And of his free throws, he took 33 for the week, guys. He only missed one. That's the kind of ball he's playing, guys. His team went 4-0 for the week. They beat Washington, where he had 41 points. And then at Indiana, where he dropped a 45, as Kendrick Perkins would say, he dropped a 45 piece. All flats for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then at Charlotte, they got the win there. And then they beat a shorthanded Memphis team, but they get the win nonetheless. So 4-0 for the week for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. In the East, Tyrese Maxey, guys, who's playing very well. You have Embiid back in the fold for the moment. So Maxey's he's able not to see these double teams like he used to, now that you got the likes of an Embiid there. So that opens things up for him. Over 32 points a game he averaged for the week. 8.7 assists, nearly 5 rebounds, and nearly 3 steals per game for Maxey. Shot it good from the field. From three, he was fine. His free throws of the 21 he took, he only missed three. His team went 3-0. They beat San Antonio, in fact. And it got 2 road wins for the week, guys. At Boston on Christmas Day, I talked about that in the other episode, and then at Utah. So Tyrese Maxey, your player of the week for the East for week 10. All right, so that is your players for the week. Let us briefly talk about the NBA Cup, the Emirates Cup. Milwaukee Bucks ended up taking it all. They beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they beat them soundly, 97-81. This is like a old school 90s type game where the scores are low. Both teams were under 100. And actually at the half, it was pretty close. Milwaukee was up by 1, but second half, Milwaukee just took over and it was game over. The story of the game, 3-point shooting, guys. For Milwaukee, they went 17-40. OKC, who I talked about them, they're not really a three-point shooting team, so I don't even understand why they're hoisting all these. Of the 32 attempts they had, they only made 5. So that kind of disparity, you're going to lose each and every time, guys. And they got absolutely killed on the boards, 63-51 also. Bench points, they got done in by that as well. So all things point to the fact that Milwaukee got the win. Giannis ends up getting the MVP for the whole run during the cup. So kudos to them for the win. And maybe, you know, some of this good fortune can carry them during the season. So kudos to the Milwaukee Bucks. All right, so let us continue. Hall of Fame for the class of 2025, the nominees are in, guys. And I got to say to you, this is probably as impressive a class as I've seen in some time. You got players, first-time players like Carmelo Anthony, Dwight Howard. You also have the likes of Well, you already have people on here, on the ballot here. People like Tom Chambers. A lot of people sleep on Tom Chambers, man. But take a look at his career numbers. And if you look at some people that are in the hall, you got to consider Tom Chambers based on his numbers. Terry Cummins is another person where if you took half of his career, because he played in the league a long time, if you looked at half of it, bona fide Hall of Famer. The second half, he was basically, for the most part, basically like a bench player, role player. So you have that. Other players like Penny Hardaway, Marcus Johnson, who I keep saying he's been getting snubbed year after year. Bill Laimbeer, I still say he could possibly get in through the likes of his WNBA prowess, what he did for the women's game. Maurice Lucas, I was surprised he wasn't in. Sean Marion, you can make a case for him. Oh, Amari Stoudemire, it's his first year on the list. Reggie Theus, you can make a case for him. Buck Williams as well. The 2028 Redeem Team, they have made it on here as a nominee. So it'll be very interesting to see. I think you could definitely make a case for them being on this list and making it. Then you take a look at the coaches. You got college coaches like Rick Barnes, Gene Bartow, excuse me, John Beilein, Billy Donovan. He makes it for the, he's a first time, first ballot coach who's making it. His college career, you definitely can make a case for Billy Donovan. As far as his pro career, yeah, that's a story for another day. Mark Few, another college coach, his first time on the ballot. And Doc Rivers makes his first appearance on a Hall of Fame ballot. So you have that as well. International players, first time on, Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol makes it on there. And then you got some other players here. Coach David Blatt. You can make an argument for him. Andre Kirilenko, AK-47. And then you have contributors here. Mickey Aronson, his first time on the list as a contributor. And, you know, he's the longtime owner of the Miami Heat. Bernie Bickerstaff, he makes it as a this is his first time on the ballot. Then you have other contributors. Johnny Kerr, I think I've talked about him before. Mike Fratello, I wouldn't be shocked if he makes it in as a contributor. Marty Blake, the longtime scout, he's on here as well. Donnie Walsh, another executive, GM, executive type that's on the list also. Then you got veterans on this list. Got like World Be Free. This is his first time on a Hall of Fame ballot. World Be Free. He has an interesting career. Let's just say that. Downtown Freddie Brown, he's on the veterans list. Ralph Simpson, the Van Arsdale brothers, Dick, who we just lost, and his brother Tom, they're on as the veterans list. Gus Williams makes the veterans list for the first time. Gus Williams, you can make a case. You can make a case for Gus Williams. He was one of those guys where he was one of the elite guards in the game, And then, you know, the drugs kind of did him in at some point. So you have that. Women, This is where it gets really interesting, guys. First time on is Sue Bird, coach for Iowa, who just retired. Lisa Bluder, she's on the list. Sylvia Fowles, her first time making the ballot. Bridget Gordon, for some reason I thought she was in already, but this is her first time on the ballot. Shamequa Holdsclaw, at some point I want to break down the fact that I think it's a crime that Shamequa Holdsclaw has not been on the ballot already and nonetheless in the Hall of Fame. But I'll make that case another day. But this is her first time on. Taj McWilliams Franklin, one of those bigs who she's bounced around a little bit in the W, but when she latched on with the Minnesota Lynx, she was able to get a chip over there. And then, of course, the incomparable Maya Moore. I told you guys when she made the announcement that she was officially retiring, I said it's just a matter of time before she makes the ballot. And she does. And I think she's an absolute shoo-in between her, Sue Bird, and Sylvia Fowles. I think all three of them are guaranteed locks to make it. Tisha Pinachero, interesting. I thought she had been on the ballot already. This is her first time. Ruth Riley is another one. This is her first time on the ballot. And Mike Thibault, the longtime Washington Mystics coach, he makes it for the first time. And then you have a veteran team, the 1982 Cheyenne State, the Final Four team, the one that was coached by Vivian Stringer. So they make it on here as well. So very interesting. I'll be anxious to see. We'll probably hear about the finalists, right? Usually around the All-Star game, right around that time, we usually find out the finalists. And I'll be very interested to see who's there, who's not, and so forth. But I'm excited, and I'll put this out to you now, guys. My plans is to be there in Springfield, Massachusetts, when these folks go in the Hall of Fame. That's my plan. We'll see what happens. So that's your nominees, guys. Let us continue. Injuries. Got a bit of injuries to talk about, guys. Kobe Berfkin of the Atlanta Hawks, he's out for the season, guys, with a shoulder injury. And this happened in a game on December 8th, a loss to Denver, guys. So he's a guard. He hasn't played many games for them. He's in his third season. But actually, no, this is his second season. He was in the 2023 draft. But definitely a blow for the Atlanta Hawks to lose such a young guard. And then also in Atlanta news, Larry Nance Jr., he's out indefinitely, guys, with a hand injury. So right there you have two guys that's going to be out. So with Larry Nance Jr. out, you'll probably see more of Okongwu. You'll see him. Capella, you'll probably have to hang on to him also. So we'll see how quick Larry Nance can bounce back and be back on the court. But Kobe Berfkin, he's out for the season, guys. Isaiah Coro for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Keep Cleveland, who's been rolling along. He's going to be out at least 2 weeks, and he has a shoulder injury, guys, that he suffered in the third quarter of a win at Brooklyn on December 16th. So Isaac Okoro, he's been shuffling in and out of the starting lineup. So right now you'll probably have to – lean on a Karis LeVert, Max Strus, those type of guys until Okoro is back and ready. So Alex Okoro out at least 2 weeks. Devin Booker, guys, for the Phoenix Suns. He's to miss his next 2 games, and this, I think it got extended. He's out with a groin injury, guys. So, Devin Booker, you know, he's part of that big three over there for the Suns. And he suffered this in the third quarter of a loss to Indiana Pacers on December 17th. So, he's been out with the groin injury. I don't think he's come back. I didn't see him playing on Christmas Day. So, Devin Booker, we'll see what's happening with his groin there. Mo Wagner for the Orlando Magic, guys. He's out for the season. And he has started playing well for them too, guys. But he's out for the season with a knee injury that he suffered early in a win versus Miami. And this happened on December 21st. So kind of a big blow for the Orlando Magic. You're already down his brother, who they lost him to the same type of injury that Paolo Banchero had. So now his brother is out for the season. So definitely a tough blow for them. But Orlando, I tell you what, that's a scrappy bunch. Even as they amass these guys going down with injury, they have found ways to stay competitive, which is a testament to Jamal Mosley over there. He's doing a tremendous job coaching them. But Mo Wagner out for the season. Drew Smith, young guard for the Miami Heat, he's out for the season with a torn ACL, guys. He suffered that in a win versus Brooklyn, and this happened on December 23rd. So young guard over there, he's out for them. So, you know, you're going to have to lean on the likes of a Terry Rozier, who he's been hot and cold for them, guys. He's been hot and cold, but they're going to have to lean on Rozier, guys, as far as their guards go. Also, a Duncan Robinson, you'll probably have to call upon him. And, of course, you have Tyler Hero. But Drew Smith out for the season. Luka Doncic, I talked in the Christmas episode how he left the game early. Guys, he has a calf strain. It's going to keep him out at least a month. So, a absolutely crushing blow for the Dallas Mavericks. So, Kyrie Irving's going to have to put the franchise on his back and keep them afloat while he's gone. Going to have guys step up over there. Going to have guys like Najee Marshall, who I'll talk about in a little while. PJ Washington, somebody else I'll be talking about. And guys are just going to have to step up. Spencer Dinwiddie. So there's going to have to be guys to pick it up while Luka's gone. But an absolutely crushing blow. And you're going to need Klay Thompson to do a little more scoring too. So can they hold the fort until he gets back? I think it's possible, but it's not going to be easy. So speedy recoveries for Luka. And then you have the Memphis story. Oh, wow. Marcus Smart, he's going to be out 2 weeks, guys. And he has a tear in his finger, guys. So Marcus Smart, who's had kind of an uneven stay over there with Memphis, now he's out with the tear in his finger. Santi Aldama, he to me is kind of like Milwaukee's Bucks version of Bobby Portis. He's that guy who can fill in for Jaren Jackson Jr., for Zach Edey. He's that type of guy who come off your bench, who'll give you spot starts and give you good production. He's going to be out. Well, it's week to week because of an ankle sprain, guys. So Santi Aldama, a bit of a blow there for the Memphis Grizzlies, but probably the biggest of them all, Ja Morant out and considered week to week with a shoulder injury. He re-injured that shoulder that he had the surgery on last season where he only played the 9 games. So Ja Morant suffering with a shoulder injury yet again. And the prognosis is he's going week to week, guys. So donning the cape in his absence, Scottie Pippen Jr., who has done a bang-up job subbing for Morant in the past. So you're going to have to rely on him yet again, guys. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully Scottie will hold it down. In another 2 weeks, you'll get Marcus Smart hopefully back. So not good news for the Memphis Grizzlies. So we'll see. All right, guys. And then actually a coach that's out, Chauncey Billups for the Portland Trail Blazers. He's missing. He ended up missing games on December 26th and then on December 28th following the passing of his grandmother. So we send condolences to the Billups family for losing his grandmother and probably the matriarch over there of the family. So we send condolences. All right. So a lot of top performances. I'm not going to talk about them all because I'll be here all day if I did. Number one for me is Karl Anthony Towns. When he went back to Minnesota, he did this on December 19th on a game that was on TNT. He went back to Minnesota, and guys, he had an absolute masterclass. 32 points. Of those, he hit 5 threes, 20 rebounds. Good gracious. And 6 assists, also 2 steals for him. And he does this in a 133-107 win against the Timberwolves. And guys, I watched this game from beginning to end. I think the Timberwolves made a mistake because they went to Julius Randle early and often. So much so, I thought they ignored their star player, Anthony Edwards. So I think that was the wrong way to go in that game. But Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, he was destroying Rudy Gobert. I felt bad for Gobert after a while. I mean, Cap was moving and grooving, to quote Walt Frazier. But yeah, so absolutely stellar game. Also, in the periphery of that, Mikal Bridges, who's having an awesome December, 29 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. And then Precious Achiuwa, he gets a double-double in that game with 13 points and 10 rebounds. They tried bottling up Jalen Brunson, kind of successfully doing that, but you can't keep a good cat down. And Karl Anthony Towns just went to town to no pun intended. So he gets the win that night and leading the way for the Timberwolves, Julius Randle. He had the hot first half and then cooled off afterwards. 24 points he finished with, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Only the 17 points for Anthony Edwards. I was surprised by that. 7 assists and 5 rebounds. And I think this game kind of woke up Dante DiVincenzo. He's been kind of in a fog since he's been with the Timberwolves. He had a nice game, 15 points, 6 rebounds. So I think with this game now, Dante's kind of feeling, you know, like, okay, I'm here in this place called Minnesota. I'm going to have to deal while I'm here. So it is what it is. All right. So that's one performance here. There's others. There's some 40-point performances. Tyrese Maxey gave you one. Also, James Harden, he goes to the Wayback Machine. And then Victor Wembanyama, I talked about him Christmas. He actually had 42 on December 19th, along with his usual, well, he dropped 7 threes in that game for a win over the Atlanta Hawks. And then also you had another 40-point performance from Jason Tatum. He had 43 with 9 threes, actually a triple-double, by the way. So a 40-point triple-double, 43 points with the 9 threes, 16 rebounds, 10 assists, and he does it in a blowout win over Chicago, and that happened on December 21st. Also, you had Victor Wembanyama. Again, 30 points, 10 blocks, guys, and 7 rebounds, and a blowout win over Portland on December 21st. That same night, you have a KD dropping 43 points in actually a loss to the Detroit Pistons, where he drops that. You have a few triple-doubles by the Joker, one where he gets in an overtime win over the New Orleans Pelicans. Actually, a game that I watched, a pretty good game, where you had Jamal Murray going off as well. Russell Westbrook was solid in that game, too. Then you have a 2020 game for Ivica Zubac for the Los Angeles Clippers. 20 points, 20 rebounds that he gets in a win at the Memphis Grizzlies, guys. LeBron James at his advanced age still dropping triple-doubles, 28 points, 11 rebounds, 11 assists, but he does it in a loss actually at home to the Detroit Pistons. I told you guys, Detroit has been really competitive this year, and this happened on December 23rd in a loss, like I said, to the Detroit Pistons. Atlanta, the team itself, scores 50 points in the fourth quarter in a home win against the Chicago Bulls. Mind you, the Bulls were leading after three quarters, 108-91. So they were down by 17 going into that fourth quarter, and they just explode for 50 points, guys. And in fact, they outscored them 50-25. In that crucial fourth quarter. And they were down 20. Yeah, they were down about 20 with 6.23 minutes left in that game. And they just go on a 23-2 run and absolutely foiled the plan of the Chicago Bulls. And this happens on December 26th, guys. Awesome game. Then you saw Tatum drop his 43 points. Jaylen Brown said, you know what? Let me one-up you. 44 points for Jaylen Brown, including 6 threes and a blowout win over the Indiana Pacers on December 27th. Jalen Brunson has an absolute masterpiece on Saturday, December 28th, a game that I watched. Woo-wee, man. He had an awesome game. 55 points, 9 assists. I said it on Christmas. I love when I see Jaylen Brown, not Jaylen Brown, because I just talked about Jaylen Brown. Jalen Brunson with those high assist numbers. That means he's getting guys involved, along with, in this game, getting himself off. So Jalen Brunson with a masterpiece. And in that same game, Karl Anthony Towns, he said, you know what? You know, let me kind of hang with you. 30 points, 14 rebounds for him in that overtime win at Washington. A game the old Knicks teams would have laid down and died that game, but Captain Clutch said, you know what? I got to will this team to a win. And he does just that, guys. Then you have a triple-double for Josh Giddey. 23 points, and he actually made his return. He was out a few games with an injury. 23 points, 15 rebounds, 10 assists, and a win versus Milwaukee on December 28th. And then the final one I'll talk about, Kyrie. He drops 46 points in a loss, though, to the Portland Trail Blazers at Portland, by the way, in a game where Chauncey wasn't even the coach that night. But Kyrie, 46, including 5 threes that he drops in that game. So that's your top performances, pretty much in a nutshell, guys. Let's move on. Fines and suspensions. And, guys, there was plenty to go around. Anthony Edwards, he gets fined not once, but twice within this two-week span. He gets fined $75,000 for criticizing the refs following a December 21st loss to Golden State. And I remember the interview. I was like, you know what? League's going to hit him. And they did, to the tune of $75,000. But wait, there's more. He gets fined $100,000, guys, for, you get this, using profanity in an on-court interview. And I saw a clip of that, and I was like, man, this kid don't learn. And this was after a December 27th win at Houston. Tough game, but they were able to pull out the win, and he just flew off with the profanity, and the league said, you know what? Can't have that. So Anthony Edwards drops $175,000 in the span of 2 weeks to the league office. So there's that. Joel Embiid, I saw this happen. Fine $75,000, guys, for obscene gestures, as in more than one, that happened during the Christmas win that they had at Boston. Guys, and that's the thing. Joel Embiid has to know, a marquee game like that, the league is watching. The league is watching. So you got to curb that. You know, he flipped off the fans. He did a bunch of, if you got YouTube, go YouTube and see what he did. But he gets fined $75,000. Joe Dumars, the dean of discipline, said, yeah, we saw you do that, Embiid. Boom. $75,000 you got to pay. And then we had a couple of fights, guys. Suspensions during the incident on December 27th in a win by the Dallas Mavericks, and they beat the Phoenix Suns at Phoenix. What happened was Joseph Nurkic, it seems like I'm talking about him every year having an incident, he knocks Daniel Gafford to the floor and was assessed an offensive foul. Najee Marshall didn't take too kind of what he did to him, got in his face, and Nurkic mushed him, and then Najee swung on him. So Najee, he gets a 4-game suspension. Nurkic, a 3-game. And then P.J. Washington, who came into the mix during the fight, he gets a 1-game suspension, guys. Yeah, so you have that incident. And then suspensions and fines for this fight that took place on December 29th. And this was a game where Miami goes to Houston, gets the win, and it happens late in the game, as most of these things happen. You know, the temperatures rise and guys are frustrated. So it happened between Amen Thompson and Tyler Hero. They were kind of drawing at each other. Tyler Hero pushed by Amen Thompson. Amen Thompson didn't like it. Grabbed him, kind of threw him to the ground. No punches were thrown, thankfully. Although Terry Rozier came in there and to the aid of his teammate, which, you know, you like to see that. Even if it's, when all is said and done, suspension and all those things will happen. So you like to see your teammate come in there and defend your honor. So Terry Rozier does that. So with that said, suspensions, Amen Thompson for kind of being the instigator per se. 2 games for him. Terry Rozier gets the game. And then you have the fines. M.A. Aduka, he actually got thrown out of the game. Him and one of his assistant coaches got thrown out. He pays a $50,000 fine. Jalen Green, who I was trying to find throughout that incident, he did something because he got fined $35,000. And then Tyler Hero, a victim, if you will, in all of this, $25,000 he had to pay. And then in a separate incident, Fred VanVleet, in the same game, guys, he gets fined $35,000 for reckless contact with a ref. So I didn't quite see that play, but VanVleet, he has a kind of a thing going here with the refs where he ain't happy with them. So this is another case. And he gets fined $35,000. So, all right. So that is your fines and suspensions. Couple more things and then we're done, guys. LeBron James turns 40 years old. And he does so on December 29th. And, of course, you know, they have to ask him, you know, how you feel. Can you continue playing? Those sort of things. LeBron says, yeah, I can play another 5 to 7 years. I mean, he's keeping himself in tip-top shape, so does he have another 5 in him? The LeBron haters would like to hear that answer be no, but I don't know. The way he keeps himself, maybe he can do it. Who knows? He hasn't had a major injury in his career, so you applaud that. But I guess if it's possible, if he can physically do it, you know, can he hang around and be kind of a second fiddle to someone who's younger with more ability? Maybe. So we'll see. And then the accolades poured in as far as him turning the golden age of 40. And I'll just tell you some of them here. Let us first see what the commissioner would say, Adam Silver. I think in the case of LeBron, there's a mental aspect of it as well. I think all of us know that. In addition to keeping in tip-top shape physically, he works a lot on his mind. And that ability, over having played that many years in the league, to stay motivated, to maintain a level of concentration, maintain a level of motivation, he's amazing to watch. And that is from Adam Silver. Now let's hear what some of his peers had. Well, no, we'll hear from some coaches. Eric Spoelstra, who coached the man, the details of winning matter to him. I just wish that I could have had all our young players watch him in team meetings, every locker room, and film session. Every franchise is saying the same thing. You need to communicate. You need to be present in these sessions. And LeBron was not fatigued at all in terms of preparation and being involved in all of that. Noticing things on film and being an active participant in that. You want young players to see that. And that's from his former coach, Miami Heat coach, currently Eric Spoelstra. This is from an opposing coach who's watched him many and many times. Milwaukee Bucks coach Doc Rivers. What LeBron is doing, it could happen again. I just don't see it. LeBron is deadly serious about taking care of his body. Most people won't do what LeBron does off the floor. That's why they don't last. LeBron has decided to do it all, and that's why he lasts. But it's amazing to watch. So that's from Doc Rivers. And then one of his contemporaries about facing LeBron. This is Steph Curry. It's always a blast. The competitive spirit, the history, his greatness. It allows me to just appreciate all that we've been through. All the battles back and forth. And the fact that in 2024, we're still doing it. Somehow the games are pretty electric. Kind of a must-see TV type situation. And I love it. And this is from Steph Curry. So with that said, LeBron, of course, some more milestones for him. He passes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and is now the all-time minutes played leader. And he did that in a win versus the Sacramento Kings. Kareem had the record at 57,446 minutes, and LeBron surpasses that. On the same night, he surpasses the 10,000 point mark as a Laker. He becomes the 13th Laker to do so. And by season's end, he can pass a few of those Lakers along the way to climb higher on that list. So LeBron James still adding to his legacy, becoming the all-time minutes played leader, and now climbing up in Laker lore as well. All right, so a couple more things and then we're done. The NBA Christmas viewer numbers are in, guys. And let's just say it was very successful. Very successful. Based on the reports, the NBA delivered the most watched Christmas day that they had in 5 years, guys. Averaging 5.25 million viewers per game in the U.S. across ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, Disney Plus when they did the animated thing for the day, and ESPN Plus. And that's according to the Nielsen ratings. So viewership is up 84% from last year. So there's that. Let's continue with some of these numbers here. The Laker-Golden State game, That was the fourth game, primetime game, guys. That led the way for all the games with 7.76 million viewers, and it peaked at 8.32 million at 10:30 p.m. So, and it was a game that was nip and tuck, guys, and went down to the stretch. So you had over 8 million people watching it at that point. And it was the most watched regular season and Christmas Day game in 5 years, guys. Up 499% versus the comparative window of last year. And the Nick game that started the day, that was the most watched opening game on Christmas in 13 years. So it's like I say, and I hear guys like Barkley say it, LeBron has said it at one time as well, when the Knicks are doing well, the NBA is flourishing, guys. And you're seeing that here with that first game there. So, and even the late game, the game between the Nuggets and Suns, that was the most watched late game ever on Christmas Day. So basically the fans who hung around from the beginning, even into the LeBron James Steph Curry game, they hung around for that last game. So pretty good stuff in terms of these numbers. It, you know, it's funny because I've just seen these numbers. I don't hear anyone talking about these numbers. You know, we're quick to talk about, oh, the ratings are low, ratings are low. Like I've said a million times, it seems like for reasons unbeknownst to me, people don't start paying attention and tuning in until Christmas Day. That's just the way it is, guys. So, and what helped the NBA, you had five competitive games on. Five games in which all the teams played hard. And, you know, people say, oh, why don't they play like this all 82 games? Is all, okay, you like, let's talk about NFL right quick. Are all NFL games played competitively, all 17? Well, they play 18 games now. Or no, 17. Except all 17 games, are the teams playing competitively from start to finish of the game? I think it's pie in the sky if you think that. So, of course, in the 82-game season, there's going to be lulls, there's going to be those things. But to expect teams to play all out every single night, it's a tough axe. Well, I'll just say that it's a tough axe. But, you know, you're going to get the nights where, you know, the competition is there, and then you're going to get the competitive juices going. That's just the way it is throughout any sport. So what are we even talking about here? And then this is the numbers that's really, like, blowing my mind. NBA generated more than 500 million video views across its social media platforms on Christmas Day, an all-time record. The five-game slate also generated the most Christmas Day, most viewed Christmas Day on NBA League Pass. And those games are distributed through 214 countries and territories in 60 languages. Amazing stuff, guys. So it's up 4% on ESPN platforms. And yeah, so your numbers are up, guys. They're up. So will the NBA ride this momentum? I don't see why not. Now, the NFL is dwindling down. Not much on the horizon. You have college football, the playoffs, and those sort of things. But the NBA still has a draw, still has appeal, even with the proliferation of the three-point shot, which I already said I like to see less of that. You don't need a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder shooting it 32 times and making five of those. That's not good business. So there's a place for the three-point shot, but not where it's a third, or almost like a third or 40% of your shots. I don't think that's great basketball as well. I'll just say that. So that's your numbers, guys. Last thing, GD's Big Five, guys. You know I have to give it to you. So at first place, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they're not missing the beat, guys. Only four losses on the year at 28-4 right now. Then followed by rising in my ranking is the Oklahoma City Thunder at 26-5, guys. So they're still doing it. Even without a guy like Chet Holmgren, they're finding a way. They're getting it done. So Oklahoma City Thunder climbing into the second spot. Boston, who's had kind of a slide as of recently, they are in the third spot at 24-9. And then in fourth place, jumping into the top five rankings, is my New York Knicks, 23-10, guys. And actually a game behind Boston here. So New York peaking at the right time. They're clicking on all cylinders, guys. And I'm loving every minute of it. Oh, by the way, I just heard a stat the other night about my Knicks. Right now, before the end of the season, before January 1st, they are the first team, period, to have four guys who scored 40 or more in a game. Whew, man, good gracious. That's the kind of ball they're playing, guys. That's the kind of ball they're playing. So Knicks are doing it up right now. They're in the fourth spot. And then fifth, hanging on by a thread, guys, the Memphis Grizzlies at 22-11. Will that change now that you have a Ja Morant out? You have a Salty Aldama out. You have a Marcus Smart out. Will it change? We'll see. It seems like they're still hanging on. Taylor Jenkins doing a great job over there with that squad. So Memphis in the fifth spot for now. All right, guys. So that's it for me. I thank you for listening. As always, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you find all my videos, support buttons, support this podcast. You see it streaming there, guys, when you watch. All my support is streaming there. I got the buttons there on my website. PayPal, Buy Me a Coffee, Spotify, those are ways to donate. My Cash App is there, $GD, that sports dude. That's my Cash App, guys. All the podcast platforms, I'm there. Apple, of course, you can leave reviews and like the videos. YouTube, like the videos there as well when I post those. And also on the socials, IG, TikTok for the moment. It looks like we're getting a second life with TikTok, so I'll be still on there. Move out of Twitter. Blue Sky is where I'm at right now, guys. Also, Facebook, I pop on there every so often. LinkedIn, I put my videos up. In fact, the Christmas one up, I just put up as well, so a lot going on, guys. I thank you for listening. As always, your listenership is what keeps this show going. Appreciate you. All right, and looking at big things in 2025. A lot of moves to make. Just remember your boy helped this show out. I bring you this content, fresh content for you guys. All right. Thank you for listening as always. Happy New Year's to each and every one of you. May it be a safe one, and let's get it in 2025. Deuces, everybody.